With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Barbie was kind of a big deal, but would you watch a movie based on Monopoly? And it's not only board games either, because Minecraft, The Sims, and all sorts of other games and products are heading for the silver screen. What on earth is going on? And will any of them be any good? Who better to ask than Brian Lloyd? You're very welcome back to the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you keeping?
Good.
This is very interesting. I will say I adored the Barbie movie.
Same.
From start to finish.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Thought it was very well done.
Yeah.
But are product movies just a form of marketing for a product or a brand?
No, it kind of depends. It does depend. Like, so you look at something like, say, for example, do you remember that film The Founder, which was about like the creation of McDonald's and stuff like that? That was really, and Michael Keaton was in it. It's brilliant. But it's really just about like how, you know, Ray Kroc, the character that Michael Keaton plays, how he kind of wrestled McDonald's away from the original McDonald's brothers. And like, yeah. And then you look at like The Social Network, for example. That's just all about like how Mark Zuckerberg created Facebook and how he kind of like, you know, insulated himself from everyone around him, and how, you know, Sean Parker got involved. And, you know, it's when a film is about a product or a service like, you know, McDonald's or Facebook or even something like BlackBerry, which was a great one as well. It's really telling like a morality story. So it's like about, you know, hubris, or it's about how, you know, you can't get to 5 million friends without making a few enemies along the way and stuff like that. So it can depend. But then in the case of something like, you know, the Minecraft movie, that just looks like straight up marketing. That's literally just like, we've got Minecraft, we're going to make a film out of it. Did you see the trailer?
No, I haven't watched the trailer.
Don't.
First. Okay.
It's terrible. It's so bad. I actually like pulled a hernia from cringing that hard at it. And it's just like, Jack Black, what are you doing?
This is why you're the most perfect person.
No,
for
it's
this.
Terrible. But no, don't I'm, take my word
no,
for it. Watch it.
But
like,
I'm just saying, you don't hold back on your opinion, which is exactly what we need. Margot Robbie is going to be involved in Monopoly.
Yeah.
I, as you did, very much enjoyed the Barbie movie, because it wasn't about buy a Barbie doll.
No. Not at all. It was a story about femininity. It was a story about masculinity. It was about what does it mean to be a woman and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that America Ferrera speech where she talks about like you can't be pretty but too pretty, and
yeah, it's amazing.
Brilliant. Like, and then like the final scene of it. The final, like, I mean, I'm not going to reveal it obviously, but for anyone who's seen it, it's just like Barbie has actualized, and she goes into the thing, and you know, like, it's just like
it's so good.
It's so
the
good.
The humor the whole way through it is absolutely excellent. Now, obviously, we've done enough Barbie talk. She is going to be involved in Monopoly.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to be able to work her magic again? Like, what can we get out of a storyline of Monopoly?
Well, like, okay, so like you could say it's a story about capitalism.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of, because that's really what Monopoly is about, is you're trying to bankrupt everyone around the table and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, one of the things that she touched upon in Barbie was, and she said this in all the interviews during the press tour and everything, she was saying, like, if we don't talk about it, someone else is going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to kind of walk up to and meet the cliches and walk up to and meet the very obvious things about it. In the case of Barbie, it was like, okay, so she's blonde and pretty and has nothing in her head. And Margot Robbie was like, right, my character is going to be called Stereotypical Barbie.
Yeah.
And then Kate McKinnon's Barbie was Weird Barbie, because that's the Barbie that, you know, every woman had, where like they cut her hair off and painted her face pink and then threw her down.
That's
the...
when you realised the hair didn't grow back. That was traumatising.
Was that a thing? Yeah,
that
yeah.
It was absolutely a thing. You like nipped the hair and then it was like, great.
My wife was telling me though, there used to be a Barbie though, I think it was, maybe it was a Cindy, that you could cut it and then you push it and then the hair would grow back out or something.
There's
like that.
There's absolutely no way I was ever privy to that. I don't even think I had
that. Might have been
Barbie.
An older one now. I don't know. But there was a doll apparently you could cut the hair and then you'd hold
that
it and it'd grow back.
I'd buy that now.
just really, yeah, just like sipping away at it. But yeah, so there you go.
So, okay, product movies. Movies based on non-traditional inspiration, essentially. Like, are they a recent thing?
No, not at all. Like, there was a film in 1985, a brilliant, hilarious comedy called Clue, and that's based on the board game Cluedo.
Yeah.
And it was essentially just like, obviously Cluedo, if you've never played it, it's like a murder mystery thing. It's like, you know, Colonel Mustard, Reverend Green, blah 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 blah, and you have to solve who is the murderer. And what they did in the film was they basically just made a murder mystery comedy. But the kicker was the final 15 minutes of it, they basically went through every single ending where every individual character was responsible for the murder, if you know that kind of way. So like, you know the way, like, if you've played Cluedo, it's like you're Colonel Mustard and now you're the murderer and then everyone has to figure out who did it, but then it could be literally anyone else playing that game as well. So it when you watch the film, it makes sense. Yeah.
We have a little clip of the film here. Have a listen to this.
Colonel Mustard, when we saw the murderers at the front door, you took the key to the weapons cupboard out of my pocket, then you suggested that we all split up.
You separated from Miss Scarlet, crossed the hall, opened the cupboard, took the wrench, ran to the conservatory, entered the lounge through the secret passage, killed the motorist with a blow on the head. Like that!
All go.
Yeah, just like that's it. Like, it's that whole Poirot, like, end of the mystery kind of revealing it all. And, like, you know, you look at something like Knives Out, for example, and Glass Onion. I mean, they were very much inspired by what Clue was doing. Yeah. And Clue was itself inspired by the board game. So, yeah.
And it all goes kind of hand in hand.
Yeah.
Why do the ones that work generally tend to be taking the mick out of themselves?
It's because, you know, kind of what we were saying before, that, like, if you don't talk about it, someone else will talk about it. It's that thing of, like, acknowledging its own ridiculousness. And then, I guess, just being self-aware. Like, in the case of, like, Lego Movie, for example, you know, that's a film about... the power of creativity and the power of individuality. But, you know, when you have Lego, like, you can either just build something yourself and, you know, it looks like a crap rocket ship, or you can follow the instructions and you'll get something very, very beautiful but doesn't have any kind of spark of ingenuity about it. And again, like, you know, who would have thought a film about Lego? I mean, I remember when that was first released, all of us old hacks, like, that were kind of going into the press screen and over would be like, Lego, come on, what are you going to do with it? Like, what? Lego? And then came out the other side of it, was like, that was the best animated film of the year. Holy, what, amazing, brilliant. So.
And obviously, when you think of the Lego Movie, the first thing that comes into your head is, everything is awesome.
Yeah, come on. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Yeah. Everything is awesome when you're living in a dream.
We do have another little movie or clip from the Lego Movie. Have a listen to this.
Isn't there supposed to be a good cop?
Oh, yes, but we are not done yet.
Hi, buddy. I'm your friendly neighborhood police officer.
Would you like a glass of water?
Yeah, actually. That's
too bad.
Liam Neeson. See, there you go. Like, even, like, the thing, it goes into, like, the casting of it, like, getting Liam Neeson to play good cop, bad cop. And I remember those cop figurines, the little swivel heads. The little swivel heads, yeah. You could swivel them around, yeah.
They're so much fun, but it is the imagination of it, I suppose. Like,
that's it.
Everybody's Lego set was different because everyone has a different imagination.
What Lego set? Did you have a Lego
set? I had a pink Lego set.
Really?
Every single like cube that I had was pink. My uncle's bought it for me for my 4th birthday and it came in a big pink box. So, like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was kind of a lot after a while because I couldn't do anything else.
I was going to say the pink though. Like, that's like
so cool. And everything I built was pink because of my Lego thing going on top of it. It was the best present hands down I've ever gotten in my whole entire
life. I had this like red ship thing, right? That like I'd pour all the Lego into it and then like tried to build like a little crane out of it and stuff and it kept falling over and everything. But yeah.
Yeah, but hours and hours and hours.
Oh, hours and hours of it. Yeah, ridiculous.
Which is hence why, I mean, they managed to get a great movie out of it.
Yeah.
We touched on Minecraft at the very beginning.
You said,
don't bother, don't go there. But let's talk about the Gamer Gang because these movies, would you think that they're a separate thing from a product?
They would be.
Yeah,
no, 100%. Because like obviously, you know, you look at games, they generally tend to tell a story. Mm. Like they have like a beginning, a middle and end. There's a character is involved and all the rest of it. And they tend to be more kind of like straight adaptations. Like so you take, for example, like The Last of Us or Fallout. In the case of like The Last of Us, like, you know, there was the game and then the TV series with Pedro Pascal and all the rest of it. They literally just took scenes straight from the game and then put them into a live action format. And then in the case of Fallout, you know, like that's what they call a role playing game. So you basically create your own character and then you send them out into the wasteland and then you make all the decisions for it. But what they did with Fallout was that they basically just created a character themselves and then just wrote a story set in that world, if that makes sense. So it was like kind of not necessarily adaptation as it is just creating another story in that environment. But like a lot of it has to do with just really it's the fact that gaming is now so popular. Do you know that kind of way that everyone is playing it now? And like there's an entire generation now that have grown up with gaming their entire lives and are now reaching maturity. So why wouldn't there be, you know,
a movie
or TV shows based on video games? It would make sense to have it now. In the same way that like 40 years ago it was books and novels. Now it's comics and video games.
Yeah. They haven't been great.
No.
I mean, any of the movies that we've got so far have been quite crap. Like, why do we think that is?
It's just because, again, this kind of goes back to what I was saying, that like there's a generation now who are native, let's say, to video gaming. And they're like in their late 30s, early 40s. So they know what people want and what people want to see in these games, but they also understand them on a far more...
deeper level.
Deeper level. Because like when you go back and look at like, say, the Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Kylie Minogue, you can tell no one has a clue what's going on, and they don't really understand it, and no one really gets it, and it's all kind of a bit cartoony and stupid, and they're making it for kids, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And then you look at something like the terrible Super Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins and stuff like that, and again, nobody had a clue what was going on,
yeah,
and everyone's just like, okay, we think it's kind of like this, and but then compare that to even something as, you know, bland and generic as like the Super Mario Brothers, the animated one recently, yeah, with Chris Pratt. You know, it understood it more fully because it's had time to percolate in kind of like general popular culture, and the people who are making it are like, yeah, I know exactly what this is. I know how to make this. I know how to write this and make it interesting.
So. They know the deeper level of it, that it's not surface, and it's not...
That it's not surface, and it's not just kind of like, what they're doing this, the thing is moving around, I don't get it. Whereas other people are like, no, that makes sense, and... You know,
because for this reason, this has to happen.
Correct.
So if you don't have someone who has that, then it's wishy-washy.
It wouldn't make sense. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense. It'd be the same way as, like, again, reading a book and not fully understanding it and then trying to make a film or a TV show out of it. Like, you kind of have to know what it's about and why people love it so much and then love it yourself. And then that then gets transposed into a TV show or movie.
It's giving trying to, like, flap your way through your homework.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's like when you're just, you haven't read it and you're just trying to be like, I kind of know. And remember when you used to write the essays in college and you'd like put in like loads of extra words to try to get the word count up.
Yeah.
Like we've all done that. Like it's kind of the same thing. Like,
yeah, but movie format. Brian, as always, thank you so much for coming in and today to talk about the weird stuff that they make into films. That was Brian Lloyd and we'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.